We're going to finish up our Pray First series today, and we've kind of built this whole thing around this rally cry of pray first, that before we send that email telling somebody what we think, we're going to, all right, let's wind up again, before y'all send your emails, before you send that text message telling that person what you think of them, you're going to, before you make that phone call to give them a piece of your mind because the world just can't live without it, you're going to? Yeah. We laugh because it's true, because we don't. And we call and act without thinking. But we've been through these weeks, and we've gone over, if you missed it, you can go back and listen to them online or watch them online. We've talked about the first thing that prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Prayer shouldn't be a 911 call. It shouldn't get to that point. That we've talked about what makes prayer powerful. And the last week we talked about God is our healer, God is our provider, that the names of God and who he is. And then today, built around this scripture, again, this is the verse we've been using of 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that we never stop praying. So this morning I thought I'd give you another example, a one-sentence prayer that's in the Bible, and it's actually been several books written on it. I think in some cases, some pastors, I guess, some people teaching this have turned this into something that it's not, and you've probably heard of it if you've been around for a while. It's called the Prayer of Jabez. There's some great books written on it. There's some books written on it that I just think people are taking it out of what God intended it to be. They've turned it into a God make me rich prayer, or God give me more. Just make it about more and give me more. But that's not really what Jabez was praying. It comes out of this prayer is listed in the book of 1 Chronicles, which in the Old Testament, honestly, it's a book that's hard to read. It's one of those books that's a lot of begats, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and the tribe of so-and-so. But right in the middle of it, there's about 600 names. And right in the middle of this 600 names, God, as he's writing the Bible through, obviously a human that's writing this down, stops and says, hey, now wait a minute. And it reads this verse right here in 1 Chronicles 4:9. It says, Jabez was more honorable than all of his brothers. I thought it was interesting that God lists this, that his mother named him Jabez, meaning I gave birth to him in pain. Is there any other way? I mean, birth by its very nature is pain, but here, this guy, actually, his name was pain. He was tagged with this name. But see, like the first verse calling this out, then it suddenly switches in verse 10. It says, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me, enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. His own name. See, his name means pain. I mean, can you imagine him in high school getting made fun of? Elementary school, middle school, you know, your name means pain. He probably heard about it. It's probably a tag that lived over his life, which I think about today. There's a lot of us that way. You're living your life based on a tag that somebody put on you. And they said of you, it's true, and it wasn't, but now it's become true of you because you've walked in it. You've kind of believed it. But look again at what Jabez did. He didn't cry out of his pain. He cried out to God's promise. He didn't whine about his life situation. But he received and said, God, okay, you said you'll do this for me. That's what I want. So this morning I'm going to give you four things. And we'll be pretty quick. Four things that you can use in your life. And you can use the prayer of Jabez as a guide. Or sometimes it's a great prayer just for you to articulate to God what you're looking for. That you communicate clearly to him. But I want to give you these things. And the first thing is this. Jabez prayed for blessing. And the first part of the verse, and he said, oh, that you would bless me. You see, this is, again, not about money, not about stuff. And let me say this, God's not against you having money. God's not against money. He's not against you having money. He's against money having you, that these other things owning you. But what he's doing, he's asking God to bless his health, his family, his business, to give him wisdom. He's asking God, say, God, give me what you have for me. I'm asking you for it. In other words, I'm receiving it. See, the word blessing in Hebrew is this word barak, which means, it literally means, and I don't know if you do this with kids. Does anybody else do this with kids? I try to hear, especially when I encounter all of y'all's kids, and I love hanging out with them. But you ever watch an adult do this when a kid comes up and you get see an adult do this, right? They get down on their level. That's literally what this means. That God himself is kneeling down, is stooping down so he can look at us and listen to us and give us his full attention. See, asking God to bend down and hear you and deposit in us. Look what Psalm 17:6 says. It says that I'm praying to you because I know you'll answer me. And God, you're going to bend down and listen to me as I pray. There's another verse in the Bible where David says, hey, incline thine ear to me. Hey, lean in a little bit closer to me. And here is Jabez saying, God, I know you're going to do this for me. I'm the one praying, but God, you're the one that's going to bless me and get closer. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God tells Moses and the people, or tells the people of Israel, hey, I'm going to bless you, or Abraham, sorry, and make you famous. Not so you can just say, hey, I'm famous. Not so you can just say, hey, I have more. But so you can be a blessing to others. That's what Jabez was praying. Hey, don't give me more just so I can say I have more. Give me more so I can do more. See, God needs you to have more so you can do more. God wants and needs to bless you. Not so you can say, hey, look how big my bank account is. But so you can say, God, now what can we do? It's honestly what we've been praying here and still praying, and we're getting close about paying off these buildings. It's not just to have a note burning and celebrate, which we will do, but it's more about, okay, now God, this is out of the way. Now what else can we go do? Who else can we reach into? What other area of life can we minister to? It's not about God giving us more, but giving us more to do. Then in all of this, Jabez says, hey, now that you're going to give me more, what am I going to do with it? The second part of what he prays, he says, he begins to pray for influence. He says in 4:10, hey, enlarge my territory. Now, honestly, here's where a lot of, and this is going to be very teachy this morning. We're going to learn today. You ready to learn? Okay, you're going to learn anyway. This is where Christians go off the rail. If we can understand, okay, God's going to bless me so I can be a blessing to other people. We get that. And then Jabez says now, hey, now expand my influence. Give me more territory. The problem is if we're not careful, we go off the rails by it goes to our head, thinking it's about me wielding influence. But when you understand what you're praying, God, I'm asking you to bless me. I'm asking you to enlarge my territory or give me influence. What you're saying is, God, you're going to use me to do it because you're the one with influence. I'm merely the vessel. And in this prayer, a lot of times people got off track because it becomes about how big can I get? How big can the ministry get? Is it going to look at me? Look how big my life is. How big my company is. And the Bible is very clear that when God gives you more and he expands you more, he's doing it because he's got more for you to do. It is saying, God, if I have more, I'll do more. Stretch me. See, you need to understand this. Now, be honest with me and respond if you want to, because I will raise my hand recently. How many of you have been comfortable in life? Like, I'm good. Like, I know the world's crazy. I still got a good job, still got money in the bank. When I get home, my power's going to be on. I got a nice car to drive. I've got, life's good. See, a lot of us as Christians just settle into that. And we think, this is what God's got for me. But the truth of the matter is, Jabez realized there was more. That God has life bigger than me, bigger than just him. He had a purpose. It's what we teach. If you'll come to step one and next week, week after next, and then step two on the 20th, we'll show you that God's got more for you. And more is wrapped up in purpose. The happiest people on the earth, I'm telling you, are not the people with the most money. Because I know some pretty miserable rich people. And we see it on the news all the time. Divorce and families falling apart of very wealthy people. Suicide, very wealthy people. So the happiest people on the earth, and Jabez is praying this, God, show me my purpose. Show me the breadth and the width and the depth of my purpose. These people are the ones that are full of hope and full of the understanding of the calling of what God's asked them to do. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul writes this. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you'll have that aha moment. Like, oh, I get it. In order that you may know something. Know what? The hope is which he's called you to. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. See, it's not about you. It's about people. And the problem with the prayer of Jabez is that people get off whack. They quit praying about people and start to pray about a person. God, give me more so I can have more. And God, give me more influence so I can be seen by more people. And they distort the prayer. God says, no, I want you to be seen by more people, but it's not for your sake, it's for theirs. I want people to understand and learn about what goes on at Believers Church, not because we want to make Believers Church the biggest thing in the area, but because the more people that know about it, that means the more people that are going to heaven, and the more people that are the lost that'll be touched, the hurting that will be reached, because our influence grows. And it's about us as an influence, not just me. You see, God has a purpose for your life. I'm going to go this far. I'm going to say that knowing this purpose is the secret sauce to life. That the happy people in the room, the happy people that you know, have figured this out, what their purpose is. Again, they're not the ones with money, but they understand the hope and the calling. It's knowing that when God gives you influence, that it's going to be bigger than you. That when God gives you influence, it's going to be about knowing that God's going to have to show up. Knowing that without, I'm just going to be honest with you, the last 2 weeks, even including this morning, getting through being sick, and I'm 2 weeks out of that now, and you can obviously hear it in my voice. It's aggravating to have to clear your throat when you do what I do for a living. But I do know this. I just told God, I'm going to go up there, and we're going to do this last week. And I'll tell you, last week it was rough. Like, if you could see what goes on inside my head while I'm talking, you probably wouldn't listen to me anymore. But I remember standing last week and even this morning going, okay, God, I'm just going to pray that their eyes are open, that this is not about me, but it's about you. You and them seeing the hope that you bring. That, God, this is bigger than me. This is not just, hey, he's the preacher, let him stand up, you know. I'll be honest with you, there's sometimes as a pastor speaking up here, if you remember the old carnivals and the old circus, they had the guy that ran around with the little monkey and the little top hat, right? And people would throw him peanuts, like, perform, monkey. That's what it feels like sometimes. But I realize when it feels that way for me that my prayer has shifted because I'm now, it's about me. That suddenly I have to entertain. Suddenly I have to have the great words so that I can keep you awake and keep you on, you know, online, keep you entertained. And see, I think Jabez tapped into something. He says, God, give me more and bless me. Spread my influence out so more people can hear about you. But God, if you don't show up, Jabez prayed for God's presence. Jabez said, listen, I realize this. You're going to give me all this monetary or this land, all this stuff to expand. And you're going to be this influence where people listen to my voice and I can influence people's lives. But he prayed in 1 Chronicles 4:10, the third part of that verse. He says, let your hand be with me. And I want you to notice this. It's the first part of the verse. He prays it over all of it. But I want you to realize this, that the Bible says that Jabez cried out. Now, I know there's a lot of manly folk in here like me, and you're a card-carrying man club member. But to the guys, just a second, have you ever cried out to God? Like desperate. If you haven't, you will. And don't fight don't let your pride, because the Bible says that Jabez, in the middle of all this, was more honorable than his brothers, and it said he stopped and he cried out. Most of you have heard my story if you've been here a while. But I was in that place when we were going through getting Emma diagnosed, and the doctor told us her issues and what was going on, and it would be a miracle. I remember being at that place, like crying out, not just like, God, will you please, but screaming. And I don't know why that was in my heart, but I don't know, maybe some of you guys need to hear that this morning, maybe guys you're watching online. But just to the minimum, see, when we begin to make it about us, we begin to make it about what we look like and what people think about us. But if Jabez really cried out, I dare say he looked around like, okay, what are people going to think? What are they going to say? What's my coworker going to say when he hears me asking God for assistance? God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom that when I go into work and do this exam to get a raise, God, that you're going to give me wisdom. Or when you're praying over your family and your wife and your kids, your grandkids and everybody around you, that it's not just a, God, will you, and it becomes something that's just got some gut and some grunt behind it. You see, Jabez said, hey, God, if you don't show up, if this verse, actually the hand in the Bible always stood for the power and the presence of God. I don't have time to get into it, but there's another story in the Bible where a hand appears to an evil king and begins to write words on the wall. Always in the Bible, that hand was represented that God's not only here, but now something of power is taking place. That his presence, when his presence shows up, the Bible's very clear, his power. That God is bigger than me, and I can't do this without you. You have to, Jabez is saying, listen, God, it's great if you give me blessing. It's great if you expand my influence and my territory. But if you don't go with me, it means nothing. In Acts chapter 11, verse 21, the Bible says these people had all come together, and the Bible says the Lord's hand was with them. And a great number of people believed. Why? Because God was there. And all the great movements of God and all the great revivals you hear through history, it wasn't, there may have been a faithful man there, a woman that had prayed and sought God, but as good as they were, if God didn't show up, people weren't getting saved. Jabez says, listen, now when you pray, pray for blessing, pray for influence, but you better understand without God's power, it's not going to work. I guess Friday night, as most of us probably were, especially if you live out in the country, we're probably checking the generator. Anybody do that Friday? Like, hey, I got a generator. Yeah, I know y'all are all bougie. We got. And if you didn't have a generator, you're thinking, where am I going if the power goes out? For all of you in the city, y'all call Jimmy and his crew and like, hey, get it back on. But there's something about that power being at the pole, or that generator being out in the yard. It's there, and I can go out and crank it up, But if there's not a cable that runs from the pole in my yard or that generator to the house, how much good is the blessing and the influence that that generator has going to be in my life? It's not going to warm my house one bit. Nothing in my house is going to work because there's a generator in the yard running. What has to happen? There has to be a connection. That the presence has of the electricity on the outside has to show up on the inside. And I think that's what Jabez was praying. God, I need you not only to show up, but I need you to show up in here with power, because everything you're giving me, I'm not going to be able to do on my own. I'm telling you, that's how I feel most Sunday mornings. Like, God, if you don't show up, these people are just going to laugh at me and leave. Because it's not about me. It's about you showing up. It's not about you giving me more. I said this to some of our trustees earlier, and I want you to know this. 2021 for us, both in number of people and in your generosity, like 10 or 15% above what we were projecting, we ended up in 2021. Amen. But you know, all of that, Paul says, all of that is but garbage unless what? Unless God's presence, unless his hand shows up. It doesn't mean anything unless God comes in behind it. It's okay, now I've done this for you, and we're going to keep moving forward. Now we got people to reach. Now I'm going to show up. And I'm going to start touching lives. I'm going to start drawing, causing people in the church to go, hey, why don't you come visit? People, maybe you never thought of yourself as somebody who goes out and evangelizes or inviting people in. But today, you begin to go, oh, maybe I can invite that person. I can invite that person. And then when God shows up, it doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be even goosebumps. But Jabez understood that all this stuff means nothing unless God shows up. Moses told God, hey, I'm only going to go. Now, there's some cojones here. Can you imagine telling God, I'm only going to do what you ask me if you come with me. I'm not doing anything unless you come with me. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses said, this is responding to God, God, if your presence doesn't go with me, doesn't stand us up from here, doesn't push me forward, look what it says in verse 17. I'm sorry, verse 16. Go back. You're good. Verse 16. It says, how will anyone know, in verse 16, that you're pleased with us and that with your people unless you go with us? Why? Let's go back to the example of a rich man. Zuckerberg or Bill Gates or these guys that got more money than they can count, more money than they know what to do with. Moses is saying this, God, I can show up with my bank accounts, but what's going to distinguish me from all the other people with money unless you show up? I can show up, God, with my giftings, my abilities to show people love, your abilities to talk to people, your abilities to pray for people, your abilities just to go love on people. But Moses said, God, if we go, the Believer's Church ventures out of this place, what's going to make us different from the rest of the world? And Moses said this, and you got to go with me. You got to show up. That when we go serve people and do yards, or when we're in the parade throwing out, you know, candy and stuff to people, God, that simple act of us showing up needs to be something more than that, because distinguish us because you're here. Look what God says in verse 17. It says, and Moses said, or and the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I'm pleased with you and you know me by name. If you hear anything this morning, hear this. The Bible says of us who have Jesus and have received Jesus, and if you haven't, that's an easy fix, that God is pleased with you, and he knows you by name, And when you ask for blessing, God, I'm asking you to expand my influence. And God, I'm asking you to show up. The same thing God says to Moses, he says to us when we pray. When we take the time to pray first, when we take the time to ask him in and invite him in and say, and God will respond to you. I'm going to do everything you ask because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. That's a big deal. I don't know about you, but that brings me some peace when I don't know what's going on in the world. When I can say, okay, God, I'm asking you to show up. And God, and just like he told Moses, he says, I'm going to be there. You see, let me tell you another one. This is another one to pray over your kids. Exodus 13, 15, 17. God, if your presence doesn't go with me, I don't want to go. This is another one to pray over your kids. Your kids who aren't going to be under your control and under your vision for all of their lives. Your kids are going to go places where you can't go. That's fine. Mabel and Emma, y'all go because when you go, God's going to go with you. Some of y'all need to begin to pray that over your kids like yesterday. Because the world is teaching kids, you can just go and do and whatever feels good, do it. Whatever you call it, it is. If you want to call that tree a stop sign, I can't argue with you, right? Right? Telling your kid, they, you know, the world, tell your parents can't tell you what to do. Divorce your parents. I mean, I'm only 47, but I remember back in the day, if I ever said to my dad, I'm going to divorce you, after my mom picked me up off the floor, from him knocking me out, she'd knock me out. We didn't do that. We didn't think that way, but I'm telling you now, parents, we need to be praying. God bless my kids. God give them influence. But wherever they go, God, let them not only be told you're going to go with them, let them hear you. Let that voice be in their head. It's what I call the youth pastor voice from years ago. It's probably one of the strangest experiences in ministry I've ever had. Years ago, I was at a youth conference and speaking at a conference or a camp or something. A bunch of kids I didn't know, and about 15 minutes before I was to speak, the director of the camp came up and said, hey, we want you to talk about sex. I'm like, well, there's a comfortable topic for, you know, 150 teenagers with no prep, you know, no idea. Okay, here's how do you get into that? You know, how do you open that conversation with 150 teenagers you don't know? So I did, and I honored the guy and did what they asked me to do. And at the end of it, I told him, I said, I'm going to give you the best piece of advice and give you the best thing you'll ever have with you. And I want you today, if you have any question, I want you to know what the voice of God sounds like, if you don't know. And I said, for right now, for you, it sounds like me. So when you hop into the back seat of the car with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or you go to that bedroom or that place you're not supposed to be with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and the windows are fogged up, and you are not thinking pure and holy thoughts, you're going to hear in your head the voice of God that sounds like me saying, run. And they, you're so fun. And they laughed, and then probably it was 7 or 8 years later, a young college girl, I'm with Melanie in Walmart, a young college girl comes up to me, says, hey, are you Clint Williams? I'm with my wife in Walmart, and this nice-looking young college girl comes up and says, I'm like, I don't know whether to answer yes or not. And Melanie's looking at me, her eyes are, you know, I'm like, yeah. Well, do you remember talking about sex? I was like, maybe. And then she told me the story, and it kind of all flashed back. She goes, not long after that, I was with my boyfriend who I thought I was going to marry and this and this and this, and I heard your voice say run. She goes, I just wanted to say thank you that God showed up, that he spared me. And she goes, I just wanted to tell you that. Have a good day. And left. And Melanie and I are standing there like, what just happened? This, I had to go and tell her the story. Hey, I think that girl was from here. I don't know where this college girl came from. You know, it was very uncomfortable. But I remember praying this with those kids. Hey, God, you go where I can't go. God, your presence needs to show up. Not only just your influence, God, give me, but your blessing. And some of you need to begin to pray that and put that in your kids' heads now and put that in their spirit that your God, your call on me is bigger than me. And if you don't show up, I can't do this without you. But you need to understand this. God's going to bless you. He's going to give you influence, and he will show up. But the last part of this prayer, you need to understand this. That you need to know this. When God does it, the devil is not just going to sit and watch. He's not just going to sit in the stands and go, oh, would you look at that? God's just blessing Jimmy's socks off and he's doing well. He's not going to do it. And I can feel you saying, well, Clint, don't get all negative. Why don't you talk about something positive? I am positive the devil is not going to be happy. And I'm positive that you have a real enemy. And I am positive that even if I don't tell you about it and pretend it doesn't exist, I'm positive the devil's still going to come after us. I'm very certain of that. See, that's why Jabez prayed this at the end of the verse in verse 4:10. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. Blessing, influence. God, you need to show up, but God, you need to protect me. He prayed for protection. Well, Clint, how do I know if the devil's after me? I'm just telling you right now, he is. You don't have to know. He is. I heard a pastor friend of mine say one time that if the devil's not bothering you, you may be walking with him. You may be going the same direction as him. Pray for protection. You don't need to live in fear. You need to understand that you have a real enemy. Peter writes and describes the devil like this in 1 Peter 5:8. Ushers, you guys can do your thing, and bang, y'all can come. In 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says, hey, pay attention. Watch out for your, say this word with me, your what? Great enemy. That he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That we understand the reality of that. There's stuff going on you may not understand. There's stuff going on we may not see. But I know that even, y'all remember the movie, it was a great movie, the movie The Blind Side? And the guy who was the lineman, his whole movie is based on this idea that his mission as an offensive lineman was to protect the quarterback's blind side. So that nothing could come at him and get him from behind. In other words, nothing could surprise him. See, a lot of us live, we see the troubles ahead, and God, we see it. But we live terrified that something's going to sneak up behind me. Something's going to run up behind me and take me out. And you don't need to live in fear. We talked about last week. Go back and look at last week's. The Bible says that God is our banner of victory. The devil's been defeated. But sometimes we need to remind him and put him in that place. You don't need to be in fear. And this is 3 weeks in a row I'm doing this. So I'm hoping y'all remember, right? You don't need to fear, but some of you need to go and kick the door in and go, no, not here. Out, devil. Well, you can't tell the devil. Yeah, you can. The Bible says of Jesus' name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that what? That Jesus is Lord. The Bible says of the devil, if you resist him, he has to what? Okay, I'm going to tell you the word is flee. Now let's try that again. If you resist him, he has to flee. He has to leave. But Peter says, hey, he's going to be looking around for you. He's trying to come after you. Paul writes in Romans, who's going to separate you from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or the sword? As it is written, for your sake, we're going to face stuff. When we leave here, God goes with us, we're going to face some stuff. But it says what we are considered to be his sheep. And it says to be slaughtered. Well, what, Clint, that can't be good if we're going to be slaughtered. Well, let me remind you of another sheep that was slaughtered. The Bible says of Jesus that he was our sheep sent to die for us. And the Bible says that God brought him back to life, restored him, protected him. He ends the verse by saying that no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through who? Through Jesus. Through him who loved us. See, God, I'm asking not just to strengthen me, but to protect me. Because when I do what you've asked me to do, there are going to be people who aren't happy about it. The devil and his little minions aren't going to be happy about it. But I can do it because you've blessed me. I can do it because you've expanded my influence. I can do it because you showed up. But I'm going to do it with confidence, God, because you got my back. You got my blind side. See, we're praying for this. Why don't you go ahead and stand? We're praying for blessing. My prayer for you this morning is that everything that God's got, he'll begin to deposit in your life. That your influence will expand. You're going to meet people at work. You're going to meet people in town. And it's not just so you can go, look at all, you know, look how many friends I got on Facebook or Instagram. How many followers I have on TikTok. That those numbers and those people that you meet are because God's opening your area of influence. And therefore, expecting you to help make heaven crowded. That God, you're going to show up. Because we can't do this without you. We can't change Sylvania and Scriven County unless God shows up. Otherwise, it's just another good deed. What becomes different is when our good deed is put with his blessing, his influence, and his presence, that good deed becomes an eternal promise. And that, God, you're going to protect us. You're going to keep us safe. See, I think we need to understand this as we close out our prayer week. Prayer is not about trying to force God to move to us. Prayer is about us moving towards God. Did y'all get that? See, we want to pray God in, pray him to us. But the truth of the matter is what the Bible says we're supposed to be doing is we're supposed to be taking that one step and moving us towards God. Because God's not moving. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's not changing for us. We're coming to him. The Bible says he would that all men would be drawn unto him. That's why we pray. Why don't you bow your heads for a second? God, for those in the room who say, Clint, well, this is all great, but I used to know this Jesus, but I've pushed him away, or I've never really known. The Bible says this. The Bible says that it's easy as this. If you confess it with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus was that lamb, he was that sacrifice for me, doing something I could never do for myself, that Jesus showed up so that I could have blessing, so that I could have influence, so that I could be in God's presence. The Bible says this. You just pray this simple prayer. God, I believe it. I confess it. And God, I'm just going to start letting your presence lead me. I'm going to follow you. It's that simple. Now for the rest of us, I don't know why I feel this, especially men and guys with children. You need to cry out. And we need to start putting this on our kids. Hey, you can go wherever you want. You just need to know that God's going to be right there with you. You're going to push the limits, but you need to know God's right there with you. God, I pray that over our families today. God, no matter where our kids would go, they would understand and they would feel the fact that your presence goes with them to keep them safe and protected. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I want to tell you this morning, too, if you're especially in the room over to my right, your left, Pastor Bob, I think the team here over there this morning, if you need somebody just to agree with you in this, and maybe you're praying for your kids today, I don't know why that's just on my heart, but it is, then don't leave without going over and just grabbing and say, hey, just pray with me. Agree with me. Believe with me. The Bible says that our job is to put faith together and to watch God respond when we move toward him. And I believe he will. Amen? Amen. We're going to sing this one last song, and then we're going to go and celebrate who God is, that we're blessed, that he's given us influence, that God is moving in his presence, and that God will protect us. Amen.